sun came out, so, but it's still cold. So.
Yeah. Get some impressive pictures from friends up there. They're busy plowing their driveways.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, let's see if we get a few more people. Do we have anybody else from the Dells? I heard Bob. Okay, how about Portland District?
Hey, Aaron, Bob and Tammy just checked
in. Thank you.
And John Easton is on. Brad is on the phone. Brad Eppert.
Sean Tackley.
I didn't think all you federal workers worked on Fridays.
Oh, good. You called in.
We're always working, Tom.
I'll just leave it at that. You're making it too easy for me, Brad.
Okay, do we have anyone from RCC? Okay, I know Doug is on the phone. He's just putting money in the meter, I guess. Let's see, did we get anybody from Washington?
You're saying they have a dial phone now? They got to put the money in it?
I think it's his car meter. He must have run outside. Oh, okay. He just sent me an email. But no Charlie today? Okay, anyone else from NOAA?
Nope, just me, I guess.
Okay, how about U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? Okay, anyone else from BPA?
Leah Sullivan.
Okay. And looks like we have Umatilla and Nez Perce. Do we have anyone else from tribes, Colville or Warm Springs?
Jen Graham from Warm Springs.
Thank you. And anyone from Division? And any others?
Dave Swank, Fish and Wildlife Service.
Thank you. Okay. So let's start with an update as to what happened. Bob Cordy, can you start us off?
Okay, so yesterday we opened up the AWS valve, and we wanted to do it during daylight, which is and while there was enough people around, and so we wanted to get that done before opening day. We opened it up, and about an hour later, they noticed that the actuator for the valve was shifting several inches from side to side, and then I guess there was some leakage coming in too, so they shut it down. And right after that, we opted to put in the bulkhead as well, knowing that this is our emergency closure, which is failing on us, and so everything is shut down.
Okay, so that leaves us with currently, the north ladder pushing, right?
Yeah, so right now we have the north ladder up and running and maintaining criteria, and then we adjusted the east fishway to FPP for when we don't have AWS or fishing it. So we did that includes closing two of the three east entrances, and the third one we pull it up to 6 feet.
Yeah. And what's the current status on the breakers? For the fishing.
You asked what the status was on the breakers?
Yeah.
We're still looking at mid-March for that schedule's been slipping multiple times already, but the latest schedule is mid-March, which then once they turn it over, then we have another week for us to do our functional testing. So we're looking at least, if they pull off a miracle, we're looking at third week of March. I wouldn't make bets on that, though.
That's very optimistic. Well, let's consider it out through March. And when today the acting OPM, Brian Hurt, stopped by, and with this valve issue, he said there's a minimum of a month if they can repair it. So we're going to consider in this conversation that we will not have any attraction water for the east ladder for the entire month of March.
Okay. Did he get that information from Matt Dureen?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
So if by some miracle we happen to things come back to service earlier, great, but let's assume we're going to work with the fact that we won't have the AWS for the month of March.
Okay, Bob, you're going to take a quick look and see if you could come up with anything for an estimate of north ladder counts. Did that work out? Or?
Yeah, we haven't looked at it yet. I have somebody over there now. He's going to just do a quick review of what video we do have. But I'm not even sure how many days we have. I think it's just a few days worth.
Okay, looking at DART for last year, at least, they were pulling about, the whole dam passage was about 20 to 30 steelhead a day. And from looking at previous years, when I've looked at pit tags, a lot of those fish are Snake River fish that overwinter in the Bonneville pool, so you aren't going to really, you won't see them coming across Bonneville, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be a little deceptive.
Hey, Blaine, this is Bob, and that's a really good point. Also, thermal conditions, I think, really drive that as well, that migration. And right now, as you know, we were about a month and a half ago, we were up to 44, but right now we're at about 36 in the main stem. Over.
What temp do they usually move at, Bob?
Well, when we start getting, I mean, the Chinook migration, the steelhead migration really kicks off more around 50. When you get into the 40s, you start getting into steelhead spawning conditions. And that's when you've got your migrants that are more, especially if they've been holdovers, that they really get, you'll see this in the snake as well, where they really get the impetus to start moving over.
Well, basically the situation is we're going to have one ladder through the month of March. Historically, we've observed relatively low numbers of steelhead moving through there, but it still is significant, especially since it's the only route. The big thing we need is information on how well the north ladder is functioning. I know because of the hitches in fish counting, and you guys are doing your best to get us some information on that. But that's going to be kind of critical to see how things are going and see what we need to do potentially to enhance use of that north ladder, which would mean some form of attraction spill, which I know gets everybody excited. So.
I guess the question that we need to have an answer to along those lines is, how are we going to know if that attraction spill is actually enhancing passage at the north ladder? I mean, sure, best professional judgment, but we're not going to be able to get any hard numbers to prove that unless we compare them to past counts, right?
And then that's a rough estimate. I mean, you'd have to do, if you really wanted to know, you'd have to do like a day on, a day off. But I don't know that we're trying to do a trial here. We're trying to pass fish.
So we did do every other day last year. Was it last year, Aaron?
Yes, that's correct, in March.
And as you're suggesting, that gives you presence absence. It's not really a test. It just gives you whether fish are present or not, and with the low numbers, it's hard to determine.
Yeah.
Yes, the first week of March last year, during the AWS construction, we did spill every other day on March 3rd, 1st, 3rd, and 5th. And yeah, as Bob just said, due to the low numbers, we really couldn't say anything substantial from that.
Yeah, I think we did see, now I'm remembering, we did see a little bit of a bump when they spilled.
Are there any risks with the spill to fish passage, or is it only perceived as a benefit?
Well, so here's where the trade-offs have to start coming into play, I guess, is if we spill, then, so right now, my understanding from BPA is that every year, every drop of water is extremely valuable, but right now, given the cold temperatures and some issues elsewhere in the transmission infrastructure, it's pretty expensive water. And there may be the request that if we're going to spill early in March that we turn off the ice and trash sluiceway. So if it comes down to it, do we want to spill for fish that maybe don't need to get upstream as quickly as those fish that may have overshot the dolls to begin with and are looking to get back downstream?
So, Tammy, this is Tom. One, yeah, I'm really sorry that BPA is costing BPA a lot of money, but last time I checked, we're supposed to have fishways operating by this time of year. I am cognizant of their concerns and their pains. No way in hell am I going to support turn off the ice and trash sluiceway. That's our only means of protecting fallbacks, and last time I checked, we have a chunk of those this time of year. I would be willing to entertain some level of spill, maybe not the full day, something like we did at Goose, maybe 4 or 5 hours of spill in the morning. Something like that is good, but, you know, last time I checked, things break, and it's unfortunate, but you just kind of have to suck it up a little bit. Last time I checked, the steelhead run this year was pretty poor, so steelhead are worth a little more this year than in years past. Yeah,
especially those 15-mile creek fish that overshot and are looking to get back down and get in the creek pond. That route.
Well,
I think
definitely our preference to keep the ice and trash sluiceway running for those fish, at least early in March.
Well,
the question is, how critical is it to spill for those 20 to 30 steelhead that are in the pool that are
passing? Well, the 10-year average passage, pull down passage, was like 1,400 fish steelhead for the month of March. So,
with many of those passing later in the month, isn't that right?
It was pretty steady from the numbers I looked at. It was running 20 to 30 and a few bumped up to about 40 days on a few days. But, yeah, it wasn't like from zero, you know, for the first half of the month and then suddenly a bunch.
Sure.
I would think that, you know, nighttime spill, don't really need to do that. They don't. From seeing ladder use, they don't really use a ladder at night. You know, 4 to 8 hours of this spill.
So this is Eric on line. I'm just curious, last time this operation kind of came together, it had multi-purposes, right? It had adult attraction and potential for fish to that needed to go back downstream or kelts to use the passage route. The operation we used was, what was that? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Is it what Blaine just described or is it something else? Anybody remember?
When we've done this operation in the past,
I think it was a single purpose, and that was to attract adults to the North Ladder.
Okay, Blaine, but I think what we felt it was a multi-purpose at that point when we were talking about a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it could potentially serve that benefit too, definitely, but we hadn't. That wasn't the major aim, but hey, you know, I take what we can get. Yeah, last year it was to mitigate for potential disturbances at using the East Ladder because of high noise levels and spikes. So it was to try to attract fish primarily, but yeah, if you get the added bonus of providing a safe route of downstream passage, that's great too.
Blaine, was it the same operation? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out in my head.
I can't remember. I have to look, yeah, look if I can find that.
Why don't we just use that operation?
And prior to that, when we did test that originally, it was for back when we thought we might have too many fish in the East Fish Ladder, and the test was done to pull fish from the east over to the north. Now it's 15 kcfs.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate
that.
Was
a, I mean, and that gave an increase. Like, that gave an increase of what? If you have no spill, you have about 5% will use the North Ladder, and that bumped it up to 15%. Just gave it about a 10% bump is all on the north.
Yeah, I know. We have some anecdotal information that came from what we did, and it's the best we have, right, at this point.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, that's when we had a fully functioning East Ladder. So, if you have no attraction on the east, and you have fish that are searching, it'll definitely increase that percentage.
And that's why I was bringing up the potential to shut down the sluiceway and move that water over to the spillway. So you get the downstream passage, and then you also get the attraction toward that ladder.
How about just reducing the sluiceway, like one gate open? So if you have fish that are actively searching downstream, they can find it. And then compromise that on the, or put that over the spillway.
That's possible. I was trying to get the water to be used for both purposes. Yeah.
Well, we know.
No, I know. But the other thing to bring up for today is that the prices have been bumping into the $1,000 cap, and it will likely persist for most of the month. So each hour of spill is around $100,000.
Oh, I think you need to go talk to Walla Walla and have them reimburse you for not getting an AWS system that works.
I mean, slightly over cost? Yeah.
Not even worried about the fact that it's not working for the second year. I'm a little irritable right now. As I think Emmy once said, if Gary Fredericks knew about this, he would have retired. Fortunately, he did.
I would like nothing better than to have it working right now.
That's
or to have the
he supposedly built the damn thing.
Right, exactly. That's why they took it out to do the breakers and didn't come back in on time.
Well, I should have said something apparently about you doing both of them at once, too, but now I know.
Well,
no more turning both things off at once.
Well, we have a small issue with, we thought we had a functional AWS.
Yeah.
Yep. Shame on us for thinking we'd have something new and nice to play with.
Tom, we just played with it so much that it broke.
Yeah, well, there you go. Cordy, remind me, how much can we reduce flow in the sluiceway, if any?
Well, right now we're running with four gates open. We can reduce it down to just one gate, but that doesn't mean it's reducing it down to 25% because it's not linear that way.
I know, that's why I was trying to have you remind me of
what the CFS would be with one gate, like 2,000, I think.
That sounds about what I was guesstimating.
Maybe just under 2,000.
Or the other option is just stay the course for a week and see what counts we have.
Ugh.
one good point there, though, Scott, because we did put that DVR in there last week as a contingency plan. So we got monitoring in both ladders, and we can review that as Bob's crew is already doing. Over.
Yeah, it looks like last year the mitigation spill was actually 24 hours that they did, but I don't know how necessary that is at this time.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable with going to one gate at the sluice way, but there's going to have to be some pain shared that we need to spill whatever we think of an actual number to attract fish to the North Shore, and I'd be willing to do for less time, but we got to do something. I mean,
Yeah.
We have a criteria. We're supposed to have an operating system. We really don't. So it's a little, it galls me a little bit that we're going to let the fish take in the shorts because, well, we'll just say we had a bit of a foobar going on.
And if it slips into April, then we really got trouble. So.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear. We need to keep that in the back of our mind that it could be a reality the way this thing's been going.
So how fast could they terminate the breaker work and just button up at least one turbine unit? Is that even an option?
I don't think it is, because the demo is on both, and so they're kind of in the same position on both of them. Plus at some point they're tied, so yeah, I don't think that's an option, but we can definitely start asking.
Well, you might want to, because if I'm guessing if you've got a valve broken on the AWS, that's not going to be a short fix either.
No, sounds like it's going to be about a month for that.
Was this the same valve that they had trouble getting open?
Yeah, I think it is. It's the 10-foot valve that they were having trouble with.
Okay. I don't want to be an outhouse engineer, but it kind of sounds like we have some deeper problems going on there.
Well, thanks for that, Blaine. Just throwing some positivity there.
Keep you happy. Well, I've thought about three or four other things I refrain from mentioning right now. Like, this throws, really throws shade on the whole plan for replacing the fish turbines in general too, so but we don't need to worry about that yet, so we need to figure out what we're going to do in the near future. Alright, so when can we have some information on what the current passage rate is at the North Ladder?
I have somebody reviewing it right now. He's soon going to do a quick scan on what we have. Just try to give us a ballpark number of what we might have for passing. And hopefully by close business today, we'll have some.
Okay.
And then are you guys going to have an update on the AWS and the breaker thing and what options we have, if any? Would we have that early next week, I'm guessing?
We should be able to have something by early next week. So if we schedule the call for maybe Wednesday or Thursday, just to give people time to process whatever they've found out there and report it up the chain so that we have some district alignment, we should be able to give you guys more information.
So let's sketch out at least an initial idea of an attraction spill plan that we might or might not make the decision to go to, so people can become acclimated to it. So what would be sufficient? 4 hours, 8 hours every other day, or do we need to go every day, or?
So with Steelhead, it's my understanding that they will search for an entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And if we provided the flow, they will find it. So maybe in the first week or two, we could look at every other day. Assuming BPA is agreeable to that. And just during daylight hours or just for a few hours in the morning? What are you thinking?
I would think daylight hours. we need to give them enough time to find it too. I don't know how long. I don't know where they're hanging out.
I would suggest at least a couple thousand CFS out of gate one, at a minimum. Because that's, you know, we get out of the entrances, we have just under 2,000, so.
So the other question on that is, does that provide sufficient flows for safe fallback for adult steelhead if they decide to do that?
When you say sufficient flows, are you talking about through the sluiceway or through the spillway?
Through the spillway, if you're just opening spill gate one, you know, is the opening big enough for them to get through without having their fins clipped off and, you know, sufficient flow to make safe egress down the spillway so they don't bounce along the concrete as they go down?
The good thing about our Dalles is we found the majority, and we looked at this hard at the Dalles and the whole hydro system. The good thing about our Dalles is we found that they use the sluiceway over there. It's probably one of the most effective routes in the Columbia Basin. The work we did at it, we were getting effectiveness values that were above 50-1. So just, I think having that sluiceway there is going to be your greatest benefit, because if you don't put enough flow through the spillway, they have a hard time because it's so deep discovering that flow. And then, like you said, if you don't have large enough gate opening, you could impact survival. Over.
So, Dr. Wertheimer, and I use the word doctor generously, that was with the full sluiceway operating. If we go to a one gate around 2,000, how big of a crimp do you think we're taking on off that efficiency?
Yeah, the efficiency and effectiveness there will be affected, but if we look at B1 during the same time frame we're looking at B1, this was back before the modifications were made there, we were putting about 2,000 through there, and they found it.
Yeah, well, Bonneville 1's a little unique because it's a nice confined channel, and they're kind of stuck in there. The Dalles isn't quite so confined. They could just keep wandering their way all the way down to the corner, into the corner. So that's why I'm just wondering, because I can't remember the radio tracking data we had off that, if we saw them wander all over the place or and then come back, or what it is. I mean, I want to be helpful as I can, but I also don't want to cut off some benefit, because I'm trying to be nice to BPA, that basically just makes the effectiveness go in the toilet.
So what if you just reduce the sluice gate on days when you have spill and then have your regular sluice gate flows on days without spill if we're going to do an alternate?
Well, that goes without saying. If we're not spilling, the sluiceway is back to full.
Yeah.
Full operation, if we're willing to just talk about doing like every other day spill or something like that.
You should always say what goes without saying.
I know.
But
another thing I want to throw in there about the sluiceway is right now we're sitting with two chain gates open on unit 3 and then two gates open on unit 18. And the reason why we have two gates open on 3 is because unit 1 is up for the fish unit breaker contract because they're all tied. And so that one is out. And so we don't have the capability of alternating it very easily because of the chain gates. So we just need to keep that in mind. It is doable, especially during business hours when we have somebody around, but it's not as easy as just going out and pushing a button.
But Bob, a way around that is to just have three on one open at 3 all the time, and then open and close the 18 on the area of the day.
Oh, yeah. If we have more than one gate open, sure, we could have the other one on a push-button gate.
Daytime spill, potentially every other day. On days when we are spilling, we would only have one gate open for the ice and trash sluiceway at Unit 3. On days that we're not spilling, we would open up chain gates at Unit 18. And that we would provide updates on fish passage and the condition of the AWS as well as the fish unit breakers Wednesday or Thursday next week on a call. And then, of course, again at FPOM and likely every week until things are back to normal.
Yep, sounds like a plan.
But what level of, are you talking about spilling every other day? How much?
Oh, what was that you suggested, Bob? What was that level?
And do we, I think we know this, but do we know how we're going to spill whatever we're going to spill? We had some, I think some patterns established in the past.
Yeah, but you're only talking one gate is what Bob had mentioned. So it's not much of a pattern.
No.
The one we had, this is Doug, I'm looking at the operation from last March, is that right? And when we did this, because it said 15 KCFS total, 6 KCFS, 4 stops from Bay 1, and 4.5 KCFS, 3 stops each from Bay 7 and 8. Does that sound right?
That is if you're going to do 15, but Bob had proposed just opening it up 1K or 2K on the over there. So that's the difference. You're back, Bob. Okay.
That'd be just Bay 1. Sorry, I was muted.
Yeah, and is that the minimum gate opening of 1 foot? Do you get... What's your flow through your minimum gate opening?
Was it 1.2 or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same at the Dalles.
I don't know. I have to look at the chart again. I forget.
The last stop was 6 KCFS at 4 stops from Bay 1, so I'm assuming it's a little more than a KCFS per stop. Does that sound right? Weighing it? Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds reasonable. I can look back at the FPP, but it's in,
And are we going with stops or are we going with feet? Do we have to go to the stop at the Dells?
How much is a stop at the Dells?
Well, 4 stops is 6K, and if we made the assumption that they are equally spaced, which is not always a...
That's not how it works at the low at the low openings.
I'm not familiar with the spill, but I'll be able to speak to that.
Yeah.
So that the other pattern you had 4 KCFS coming to that first gate, and then the other two. One thing that might be simpler is just to eliminate to just stick with fill bay one. At least for the beginning, and then keep it at the original rate. And then, if it doesn't prove effective, and especially as we get on towards April, might consider adding the other two. Of course, once we get past April, we have regular spill. We may have to consider cutting back a little bit.
Doesn't after 90K, you wash out the water?
Yeah, we might. We'll fight that battle when we get there, though. But
well, don't forget, for 8 hours of the day, we have reduced flow.
Yeah.
We should be back to 40%, which is kind of standard conditions.
That's true.
And unless...
The duck, unless, I still like the duck name, but yeah, you've got your performance built. So that could give them a window. So we can look at that if and when that starts getting close.
Yep. So for the next... So what are we setting this time frame for? So from now till next week, we'll do this operation. Wednesday, we'll have a check-in. If things are looking... forward. If not, we'll make some adjustments.
Well, what operation did we agree to?
That's what I'm trying to get to.
So spill bay 1, 4 KCFS, one gate open on the sluiceway, and then the next day the sluiceway goes back to full, whatever the operation is now, and no spill. And so
right, but that, how long would you be at 4K?
How long is daylight? 8 hours?
13.5.
13.5 right now.
Talking, Scott, that you knew that so well.
Well, I looked in Tammy's table. Our handy document comes in handy.
I thought it was coming to use.
Yep.
Does it need to be all 8 hours? Or so if we looked at the diel passage patterns that we have on the Fish Count website, and I don't remember what this did for the dels, but the fish usually enter in the morning and then pass the count station by the afternoon, right?
Yeah.
So could we do a morning spill? Maybe.
I'd be comfortable about 5 hours.
And that's about all it is to be flow neutral. It was about 5 hours.
Oh, look at that.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying you're shutting off? Right now, that's not flow neutral, though, unless you're turning the sluice way all the way off.
Nope. Two,
if you leave one gate on, two, and then you have four going through the spillway, that's six, and the current sluice way is about four
three.
Something.
I think it's three something.
It might not be three something, otherwise they've been lying to me all these years.
When you open the other gates, it's five.
Yeah, it's just under four with four gates open. It's just under 4K.
Yeah, four, not three. Okay.
Right.
So it's going to cost you about 1,000 CFS, Scott. And for
which I don't have the authority to do because that.
I know you're going to have to go talk, but you can tell them. Given everything that's going on, that's a pretty small price to pay from what we could be asking for.
Well, how'd we go to 4K? I thought we were talking about 2K.
Well, you're talking 2K, but if you're, and you've got 2K at the, okay, let's go back it up. So we're at the minimum, we keep around 2K going through the sluice way at all times. When it's fully open, it's 4K. And we were saying 4K at the North Shores, that'd be about a K plus additional spill every other day for 6 hours.
Yeah, but originally we were saying 2K at the North first spill. I had asked, well, how many stops is that? Is that minimum gate opening? And then suddenly it went to 4K.
Well, because 4K, I mean, honestly, 2K is not going to do podunk. I'd let you slide to the next Wednesday on that, but I can guarantee you next Wednesday I'm going to tell you not to go to 4K.
And that's okay.
So then we can look at the passage numbers.
Yeah, then we can.
Oh, when did I get to the Istanbul Open Bazaar where I feel like I'm haggling for a rug here right now?
If we could do 2K spill, and when we're doing the 2K spill, we have one gate open at the ice and trash sluiceway, and on the days and times when we're not doing 2K, we have two gates open at the ice and trash sluiceway.
Well, you go back to your normal operation at the ice and trash sluiceway.
Sure. Yeah, whatever normal operation would be, except if we're doing spill every other day and that falls on a weekend, being able to manipulate those ice and trash sluiceway gates will be difficult if they're not the automated ones.
That was the one three. I mean, you leave unit three open all the time and then turn on and off 18.
As long as people are okay with that.
The dels 2 days or 3 days for the deck crew who's got to open and close the gate? Or is that a push-button operation?
It's a push-button on the spillway, and it's a push-button if you use Unit 18. Unit 3 is the one that would require a crew.
So if we always provided one gate opening at Unit 3, we could control, and is it all three gates at Unit 18 that are automated, or?
Yes, all three are automated.
Okay, so that would give us four gates for our normal operation, essentially. So from now until Thursday, when we'll do a check-in and probably change the whole scenario, we would operate Bay 1 at 2K for 5 hours starting in the morning. On, you want to start that a day or, well, I guess it's not morning, so say tomorrow, and then we would close the gates at Unit 18 on the ice and trash sluiceway and leave one open at Unit 3. And then switch them.
When you want to open and close them at midnight or at 6 p.m. or what? How do you want to do the sluiceway?
I guess when you start spill, you'd close the sluiceway.
Right, but you're only going to gain 5 hours. that way. This way I have to have the 18 closed longer than the 5 hours.
Well,
are you doing 2K? Are we doing 2K or 4K? Sorry.
Well, 2K until Thursday of next week.
Okay, so then you can do it on the same hour. If the hydraulics work that way.
So when the spillway opens, unit 18 closes. When the spillway shuts, unit 18 opens. Did I say that right? Anyhow.
Yeah, as long as it's 2K.
So for the next week, that would be the effort. Now, Thursday, when we look to see what we have for fish passage, if it looks like there's a lot more fish or we just don't think that this is good enough of an operation, we can discuss further then. And we will provide fish updates, fish passage updates, as soon as we are able to. And especially if the Dalles is looking at that video, that should help make it a lot more timely.
At what time did you want to start every morning or do the change?
Yeah, so that would be the question. Do we want to start just before daylight? Does that provide any benefit, or do you just want to follow the table that's in the FPP for daylight hours and do the first 5 daylight hours?
The other question, when does the shift change happen at the Dalles? Is that 6? I guess it wouldn't matter, because if the guy before turns it on, before he gets the end of his shift, and the other guy turns it off.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We can figure something out there. One caveat to the sluice gates, too, is so we have 2 chain gates open on 3 right now. If we want to close one of those, we might have a hard time getting the crane operator in over the weekend, but we'll be able to get to it first thing Monday.
Is there anyone there now?
I'll have to check.
Okay. Because you could set it up now and then open up the other 18. The only thing is, I'm going to look at the table for start time, so Doug knows what to put in the teletype.
The one we did last March was the 0600 hours.
That's what I was going to suggest, because it gets light around 6:30-ish, so you do it at 6, gives a half an hour staging time, but it's still a nice round number. I'm fine with 6.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, Doug, you got everything you need?
Yeah, I think so. I'll just follow up with you folks to make sure we got the details right. But it looks like so starting tomorrow, and then it'll be on MAR 2, 4, and 6. We'll operate the spill operation, and then it'll be whack-a-mole. So when we're spilling through that, we'll concurrently have a different operation at the ice and trash. And then we'll check in on Thursday.
And that's predicated on Bob getting it, get the crane guy today, or in time.
Correct.
You guys aren't holding out as you got a secret push button like you did at McNary, do you?
Yeah.
Why do you think?
This one's that's not attached, right? That was amazing.
Hey, Bob, this is Bob. Do you want to talk about video review after the call?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
All right, I'll give you a ring.
Call me on my cell.
Can do. And do I have the number? Yeah, I'll find.
And what day do we shoot for the call next week, Tammy?
It'll be Thursday. We'll find a time on Thursday.
On the 7th. Okay.
Tammy, I would suggest morning.
Okay. Is that an F-PAC day?
No. Just, I prefer mornings than late afternoon calls because I'm less cranky in the morning.
Well, it can't be too early in the morning, though, right?
So the 9:20 or 10:20?
I don't care. 8:30. The fact that I'm arguing over 2,000 CFS, which is 1% of river flow, to do the right thing for fish, I'm letting you slide for a week just... I need to go get something to drink, and it's going to be malted.
All right, so Aaron will look for a time in the morning on Thursday for us to call and chat about what we found. If for some reason there is some major breakthrough earlier in the week, we will make sure everyone's notified as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and Tammy, go lean on the breaker worker guys and see what they can do, because, yeah. Like, and tell Albert he owes me a beer.
I'll track down Albert and talk to him.
Thank you.
Albert owes us several kegs.
So, okay, so I think that we have this wrapped up now, and just I wanted to include this final thing that John Day will be sending out an MFR. They ran into some freezing issues trying to return the juvenile bypass system to the full flow pit detector flow. They are not able to do that due to these freezing issues. So an MFR will be coming out later. So just so you know how it's sitting right now, the juvenile bypass system is open and it's going under the crest gate and out to the outfall. So we are unable to go to full flow due to freezing issues.
So no pit detection, but the system is operating. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And there will be an MFR coming out with pitchers. So look for that.
So they'll try again on Monday when it hopefully warms up a little bit?
If it were to warm up on Monday, they will.
Okay.
Yes. And so I think that's it. And thank you for calling in, everyone. And look for an invitation for a Thursday for our follow-up meeting.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the fun Friday.
Thanks, guys.